Andrew, can I say this?
Please, Andrew.
The pictures that I've seen of you, you look good. You've been losing weight.
Oh,
I can tell.
thanks. He is
Like,
felt.
you are getting there, man. It's awesome. Whatever you're doing, keep it up.
I'm doing Weight Watchers.
Doing Weight Watchers,
I
it
count my
works.
points and I work out.
Work.
Yeah,
Do you
it
know why
works.
fuck? Do you know why fucking Weight Watchers works? It's just because people are start paying attention to what they're putting in their
That's no,
gullet.
that's the whole
The
point,
simple
dude.
equation: burn
It's the
more
whole.
than you consume.
Right.
Yeah, it's the
And Weight
whole point.
Watchers facilitates being
Yes.
able to track.
It's a system
Exactly.
that
That's
helps
it.
you
It's a
keep
simple
track
old
of your
fucking
shit.
system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Burn more than you consume. That is
Yeah.
it.
Burn.
I weigh in. I weigh in on
Burn.
Mondays, and tomorrow I'll weigh in, and hopefully I will have hit 40 total pounds lost. So
40.
you
That's
get
insane,
a
bro.
you get a th a little coin or something
That's
that you
like
can write down.
I'll get a charm, and I will get a 10-pound ribbon every time I lose
10
10 pounds.
pound
I'm getting a
ribbon.
ribbon,
Ribbon.
and I'll get a round of applause from the other fat fucks that are there.
Oh, Oh, that's not nice.
Hey, I go to the fucking meetings. The meetings are brutal. They
Oh,
this is
suck. Oh
why
my
Susan
God.
and I are going to do internet only. We are
Yeah,
not
no,
going to
my
Zoom
girlfriend,
only.
Adria, loves the meetings.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
find the meetings incredibly tedious.
You should get
She
like an
likes the
eye.
group
You,
event, man.
it's like a dagger in your eye
You get
socket or
with the
your ear
group of
hole.
people, and
And
you
the other part of that
support community.
is my the fucking cell reception, and there's I don't get LTE in that fucking building, so my internet is incredibly slow. So I'm just like I'm trying to like surf the internet to keep myself distracted, and
You're
it
an
just sucks.
angry, bitter, horrible person.
My girlfriend wants to go, so I go with her.
All right.
Which she doesn't go to the meetings. Like some weeks she won't have because she's a lifetime member, so she doesn't have to go and weigh in. You know, and keep track. And I mean,
She's a
she can't do it. She
lifetime
just has to.
member? How do
What
you
that?
get into that?
You do it for a certain amount of time, and you reach a goal weight, and then you're lifetime, and you don't have to pay the monthly fee anymore. And she's been lifetime for a while. She hit her goal like 6 months ago.
Is she trying to
She,
lose more weight, or is she trying
well,
to
no,
stay where
she
she's at?
hit her goal, and then she put it back on, and now she's trying to lose again.
Oh.
So, but so she. If she doesn't come to the meetings, if she doesn't want to like come and weigh in, or she knows she's had a bad week or whatever, I won't stay for the meetings. I'll go and I'll weigh in and then I'll leave. I don't sit there by myself.
You're flying.
Jesus.
You actually go solo?
Oh yeah, I'll go and I'll weigh in solo. Yeah, keeps me accountable, man. I love it.
Welcome to the Brothers Geek Podcast. This is a
Hello.
podcast about Weight Watchers.
I
Woo!
guess so. Have you been recording this whole time?
Oh yeah, I've been recording. Yeah,
Okay, let's. I don't want to
we're
talk
this
about
is
that on
in
the
the show.
podcast.
The Weight Watchers talk is in it.
No, I don't want that on the show. No. Let's just start in the same room.
No,
Right,
I'm gonna bring it up, dude.
You're.
Now that you said that,
now
I'm
that
bringing
it's uncomfortable.
Yep.
You guys
It's
suck.
gonna happen.
This is good. This is good. I'm
Nobody
not
wants to spend
stopping
20
anything.
minutes
That's going in there.
listening to talk
That's
about Weight
good.
Watchers.
You're
Let's go.
being healthy and you're looking good, man. I
It's
like
awesome.
it. I
Appreciate
like
that.
it. Take
Love
care of
it.
yourself.
Thank you.
This is the Brothers Geek Podcast. My name is Patrick Schmaltz with my two brothers as my other hosts,
Co-hosts.
co-hosts, co-hosts,
Semi-host. Semi.
semi-hosts.
Yeah.
Trifecta hosts.
Trifecta. Yeah, exactly.
There's Andrew Schmaltz. Hello,
Perfect.
Andrew. How's your week been?
My week has been great. I am so excited to be here. I can't tell you. It's been
Heck
a great
yeah,
weekend
bro.
here in Phoenix.
Just so you know, Christopher Schmaltz, Andrew already dropped an F-bomb in that Weight Watchers intro, so you can't drop any more for the rest of the show, okay?
Okay.
That was for Chris.
Fine.
That
Oh,
was
because
for.
oh, yeah,
Because
the language
he
police.
dropped it last. He's. Yeah. No, you're
We
fine.
got an expletive mark because of Chris last week.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Hello, Christopher. How are
Hello,
you this
boys.
week?
Hello, brothers. How are you this evening?
I am
Good.
fantastic.
My
Yes,
week
sir.
has been fair to Midland.
Fair to Midland. Okay. Hey, at least you're honest about it.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Fair to minimum.
Midland.
Midland.
Midland, what is
Fair to
that?
Midland.
I don't understand that.
I had a good week on some fronts. I had a bad week on other fronts. You know, it's life. It's life.
Life.
Yep. It is life.
Yep.
Yes, life is interesting
sour
for sure.
Sweet.
Yes. So we should probably talk about Phoenix Comic Con that you
absolutely
that you both went to. Yeah. I have been to the Phoenix Comic Con before, but I don't live in Phoenix anymore, so I didn't go.
Thank God. I mean, oh, that's a bummer.
Sucks. You're not here.
What the hell
it
is
really
that?
Bothers us.
Phoenix Comic Con, yes. It was
Love to hear about
how many years in a row have we been now, Andrew?
At least five or six.
Yes, at least five.
Yeah, we've watched it grow exponentially.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, right? I went to the Phoenix Comic Con when it was in Mesa. Does that make any sense? No.
No, I went with you to that.
Yes.
When it was at the Mesa Convention Center. It was maybe.
Oh my God. And it was like 20 people. It was like $20 to get in or something.
Yeah. It was one day. Yeah. It was 2,000 people and it was you paid $20 and literally it took you 30 minutes to walk around the convention floor.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And there was like hardly any panels. There wasn't any like.
Yeah.
I started going to those because of working for Samurai and working their booth, and they needed extra help with the cons. That's actually how I started working for them. Was I just started as just a con flunky to stop theft because so many people walking around, they could just like grab something and walk away. So I stood and looked foreboding. And I know.
Which we all know is complete bullshit.
Foreboding. Foreboding. Good word though.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm a college student.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
You are that. In fact, it's outstanding. Well, I mean I mean we've been every year for the past five years.
It has grown significantly.
Humongous.
Well, we now they have Nathan Fillion coming to it.
I mean, here's the context. The context is we have multiple trips to San Diego Comic-Con, Comic-Con International to compare it to, right? Mm-hmm. We have been to San Diego. We have done Comic-Con in San Diego multiple years.
Yeah.
So we have that to compare to what Phoenix was and what it has grown into.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, has it grown into something that is legit.
Do you guys have any numbers of how many people went to this?
Estimates were that it was going to reach 70,000 people.
Wow, that's a lot.
Big. I looked this up online. That would put Phoenix at number 3 or 4 in the country.
Wow. Yeah.
In terms of
total attendance,
popular cons, total attendance.
Yep.
Well, so like what? Number one is San Diego. Number two is New York. Yeah. Number three is Emerald City.
Yes.
Or WonderCon.
You guys just totally squashed the trivia question I was going to ask.
Oh, dang it.
That's good. But anyways, that's a legitimate point. Because Phoenix has grown to be.
Yeah, no, that was going to be the question.
I mean, it was, and you know, attending it for a couple of days, and Andrew can also report on this because he went multiple days.
Yeah.
The crowd was gigantic, and even with expanding the floor significantly, the exhibit floor.
Yeah.
Significantly. It was a mad crush of people.
Yes.
I mean, so many people.
Well, this was the first year. I mean, I don't remember if they had scheduled anything else in other buildings last year that I just didn't go to. But, I mean, there were panels and meetings and things in other buildings.
Other buildings.
Beyond the convention center. We walked over to the Sheridan, which is like 2-3 blocks away from the actual convention center proper, to go to the Jim Butcher panel yesterday morning, and it was in a ballroom that was full.
Full.
Who the hell is Jim Butcher?
Jim Butcher is?
Your daughter posted that on
Dresden Files, dude.
Oh.
I will talk about it in my red.
Oh,
my red
okay.
Segment.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll save it for that. All right. Because I was going to ask you, but I saw that
if you
post.
Have not read this series, you need to immediately begin reading the series.
Here's the thing. After going to that panel yesterday morning, I am going to start reading the Dresden Files now.
I watched the show.
Wonderful.
The show was shit.
The show was shit.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. But as a panelist, just because he was such a good panelist yesterday, I'm going to start reading his book series.
Okay.
The panel was fantastic.
There is something to be said about that. Like, I've been to some crap panels. What's that chick's name who played River in Serenity? What's her name?
Summer Glau.
I went to see her at Emerald City. That was the most boring panel I've ever been in at a con.
Some people get it. Some people get the cons and how you need to approach folks who are there.
Yeah.
Because everyone who was there, they are invested. They are dedicated. They are people who they choose to be there to interact with you because for whatever reason, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all different kinds of levels.
Well, and
they are specifically choosing to
sort
of be there to either learn or to worship or whatever. And so people who are great at those panels and in those rooms are the people who understand that, who appreciate that, who embrace that.
Yes.
Like Summer Glau, she's never struck me as somebody who embraces that scene. She's an artist, you know, she's a dancer and all these other things.
Yeah.
She's never struck me as someone who embraces that scene where others, they absolutely embrace it.
Fillion, Wheaton.
Barrowman.
Barrowman, totally.
Barrowman, you know, those folks understand the con psyche.
Right.
Yeah.
And they embrace it and they go for it because it's fun for people.
It's like fan appreciation is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Loving what you're doing and being into it and loving the people that love you for what you do.
Appreciating those people who are so into it that they will show up at a con and listen to you talk about, you know, what they might be totally inane stuff that they've talked about 100 times before.
Yeah.
But the people who are there are hanging on everything you say and asking, you know, idiotic/... you know, very important questions to them, and so not dismissing them, but actually engaging in this and doing it in a way that sort of recognizes and respects the people who are in the crowd and who are your fans. There, I will forever respect like Butcher is a prime example of that. He doesn't talk down to you. He is engaged. He was terrific, and that's I'm very happy with that because my contrary experience to that at San Diego Comic-Con, we've talked about this in the past, was going to a panel where Robert Jordan was on the panel, the Wheel of Time series, a writer, and he was a complete a-hole.
Mm-hmm. And you love Robert Jordan. I love that series.
Wheel of Time is great. I've been reading that from day one, and I was such a huge fan, and I went to that panel, and he was so dismissive. And so he was such an a-hole to people. It was unbelievable. I was very bummed out about that because he was, you know, this talking down to you and arrogant.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, well, I mean, I experienced that with panelists on the same panel a couple years ago at PhoenixCon. They had – it was like the 25th anniversary of Next Gen, Star Trek Next Gen, and they had most of the cast – up there for a panel. It was like Brent Spiner and Will Wheaton and I forget the woman's name.
That was last
Marina
year, right?
Sirtis. It was 2 years ago.
Oh.
Marina Sirtis, who played Counselor Troy.
Oh my God, how do you remember Michael Counselor Dorn? Troy's name?
That's
I knew that.
Let me just tell my story. But on the panel, the spectrum of people, I mean, Brent Spiner and Will Wheaton totally embraced the con, and they were all about telling stories, and they loved getting questions, and they were all about interacting with people. And then on the same panel, we have Marina Sirtis and Michael Dorn, who were just totally not engaged. And Marina Sirtis was actually a little annoyed with people who would come up there and kind of ask questions that she thought were dumb, and she made fun of people a little bit. And I'm sure she did that to kind of entertain herself, but at the same time, these are people who love your TV show. There's 2,000 people in a ballroom at a convention that are there. You're getting paid to appear.
Right.
People like that show up and they get paid. Nathan Fillion, I don't know if he got I mean, he's a guy who's making a ton of money right now doing TV.
Yeah,
and
he doesn't need to.
He showed up at Con this weekend.
Right.
And Katarina was Christopher's oldest daughter, was telling me the story about his panel. He was totally engaged, and he loved every second of it.
Yeah.
He is the perfect example. He is currently a huge TV star.
The last thing he needs to do in his life is to show up at a convention.
Exactly.
But there was a time where he was in between Serenity and Castle, where he was in that, what was that show called? Drive? That had like one pilot that failed.
Yeah, they showed like three episodes.
Right. And then he was in like another show. He was on Buffy as a villain.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He was like struggling to find his feet as an actor. And then he got on Castle and
for six seasons or
right.
Whatever.
They just got renewed for a seventh.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And it's still a good show. Still fun.
Yeah, I mean, the 20,000 or 25,000 they pay you for appearing over the weekend. That's nothing. He doesn't need that money. You know, but I mean, some of the other people there, I'm sure. I mean,
they need
Adam
money.
West, Julie Newmar, and Burt Ward, the guy, Catwoman.
Does Adam
Batman
West do anything but go to cons?
He can't be doing anything, but he does voice work probably for Family Guy, right? He does voice work for that.
Yeah, but you could do you could do a whole season in an afternoon.
Well, check this out.
They must live on the money that they make on.
He was doing signings and autographs and pictures. $120 to take a picture with Adam West.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
that's what he was charging.
Yeah, $120
to get a picture with him.
They will take your information. They will take a picture with you, and they will send you an autographed photo of you with Adam West for $120.
Dude, that's stupid. Does anybody pay for that? You
What's
pay
that?
For that?
Sure you got some takers.
No, I will never pay for that. Absolutely not. I get zero thrill from that.
Okay. Okay. Here's a question.
This is a good topic of conversation here because that I have never been a autograph guy. It's way too cult of personality thing for me. And Katarina was complaining that I wouldn't pay for her to get Richard Dean Anderson. And I'm the biggest Stargate fan.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Dean Anderson was here, and he was signing, and his autographs were $40, right?
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, no way. She wanted to get a poster signed. She bought a poster of the original Stargate crew.
Nice.
And I got her, you know, Susan and I were watching Stargate when it was on frickin' Showtime. When it premiered on Showtime, dude.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
we watched from the very beginning. And, but I, you know, hell no, I won't pay for
an
autograph. It's too cult of personality for me. The difference is if it's spontaneous, you're in the moment, the person is there, you chat them up, and you have them sign something, that's a real, like, genuine moment.
Right.
But these sort of moments of paying for somebody's autograph on a photo drives me crazy.
Feel like it's worth, like, I don't need someone's signature. Even somebody, like, I'm trying to think of, like, a person that I would actually want, like, an autograph from. Because I've met, my first year going to San Diego Comic-Con, I met Quentin Tarantino on the floor, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's just walking around. That's how little San Diego was when I went. And
how many years ago now is that?
God,
that's 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
Must have been 8.
Well, I was 21, so 10 years.
10 years.
When I went. Yeah. And I, you know, even that guy who I love, I wouldn't pay for his signature. I wouldn't pay $20 for his signature.
Yeah.
I wanted a handshake from him. That's what I wanted. And he gave it to me. Like I wanted a real experience, a memory, not some ink on a piece of paper.
Well, that's like, that's exactly right. Was I with you, Andrew, or who was I with? I don't know if Patrick, you were there when I had the conversation with the actor who played Ball on Stargate.
It was me. Yeah, that was the last time we were at San Diego.
I mean, that was a great con moment, and I didn't get him to sign anything. He was just sitting at the table, and I chatted him up. And that was like a genuine, it was me being a fan and talking about him as a human being and talking about with him about being on the show and all of that. Those are the moments of real, like, fan moments for me.
Right.
Rather than give me your autograph and, you know, sign my name on something.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I had the same kind of organic, you know, encounter with someone. There's an author by the name of Austin Grossman. He wrote a book a few years ago called Soon I Will Be Invincible, and it's kind
of a destruction
of superhero and villainy told in, you know, this really kind of interesting novel, and I have read it a couple of times, I think. And he was at San Diego Comic Con the last time we went, and Chris and I went to a panel.
I went too.
The panel was kind of not very good. But I ran into him in the hallway after the panel. He was like coming up some stairs, and I kind of like randomly shook his hand, and I kind of fanboyed out a little bit. And I wish that if I had had my Soon I Will Be Invincible copy with me, I would have asked him for an autograph, just because that would have been fun to have an autograph on a hard drive.
That's an organic
moment.
That's a good moment.
But I mean, even somebody like that, he's a good writer, and I was excited about the book because I just read it. And I knew he was going to be there. I would not wait in line or spend money or even my time to get an autograph with him. But encountering him in that situation, he and I had a short conversation.
You just have to know that the majority of them who – this is the game they have to play. But you know that they feel a little whorish when they're scheduled for signings and it's $45. And, you know, they're trying to be – they're trying to be sort of genuine with each person who comes up, but you know that's the vast majority of them, because they're actual human beings and not terrible people, they have to be cringing inside at this notion that, you know, people are paying for these 5-minute snippets with them.
What a moment in your career. What a horrible moment in your career as an actor or like a creator of something that you're reduced to charging people $45, $120 for a photo with them because you need that money to survive. Like, I couldn't imagine. Like,
you see, for some of them, like dude, like Mark Shepard, he doesn't want for work. There's no way he needs the money.
Right.
He's a recurring on Supernatural. He's on tons of shows. Yeah.
So which one's he?
He plays the King of Hell on Supernatural. Oh, I can't remember the name, character's name.
Like, he doesn't need the money.
Crowley.
But then why does he charge if he doesn't need the money?
He was Badger on Firefly.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that guy. He was on Battlestar Galactica.
Why does he charge then?
Because his agent tells him that's how it's done.
Yeah.
That's why
we're focusing too much on our frustrations with
you're right.
Okay.
The weekend was phenomenal. Phoenix Comic Con has exploded. Despite the drawbacks with kind of the space,
A-list people showing up.
Yes. Nathan Fillion, Stephen Amell, the lead in Arrow, was there.
Oh, nice.
He was tweeting about being in downtown Phoenix, and he went to the downtown Hooters and to get a cold beer. Nice. You know, everybody complains about the heat, of course. But I mean, that Phoenix has now become an elite con city.
Yeah, so if you're like top five like that, if you're getting that much people, like that's big. That's awesome.
And there's a critical mass of restaurants and bars and nightclubs downtown that can feed that crowd and give people things to do to stay downtown. Whereas in years past, there was nothing downtown to hold people downtown, and so people would come to the con and then leave. And what has happened is multiple hotels have been built. There is entertainment venues downtown.
Oh, that's so great. Wow.
We haven't gotten to the super elite level of New York, San Diego, or even WonderCon, even though we're more highly attended than WonderCon is, because we don't have the promotional stuff from movie houses, from TV channels. They don't show up to preview stuff.
Marvel aren't there, but I'm willing to bet you that they show up. But
the issue is the proximity to
San Diego in terms of time.
Yeah.
Suggests that they'll never be a big presence. Mm. But what was it? Dark Horse had a booth.
That's right out of Portland, Oregon, right there.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was good. It was good.
That's cool. Yeah, no, that's
we went
awesome.
To. I went to the Butcher panel, and he's funny and smart and authentic, and then walked the floor, and the floor is legit. They really expanded the floor space.
Yeah.
Lots of artists and independent stuff, but also mainstream, like real serious con displays and booths and cosplay all over the place.
Okay,
every
I have
single
to,
day.
I got to ask about the cosplay, right, since you popped that in. Did you guys see a guy dressed up in a Mass Effect armor? Have you seen?
Yeah, there was multiple people dressed up.
Did you
up
see a guy with a beard? Like a fuzzy beard.
I don't remember that specific. I focused on the armor more than I focused
okay,
on
well,
what
this,
people are wearing than their face.
There's this other podcaster, Bill Duran, that that cosplays, and he was at the con, and I actually tagged you in one of the posts that I did to him to look for him, because he makes his own armor, and it's like legit. He makes his own guns. He's like punishprops.com.
Boys,
I really like
I'm announcing this right now, and I'm prompted by my Susan has been binging on Castle.
Yeah,
and there is an episode in Castle where it's a Halloween episode.
Yeah,
it opens with him wearing Mal's set getup,
space cowboy,
the trench,
space
and
cowboy.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, and it is so awesome, and it's such a perfect moment. I'm telling you right now, I'm announcing it right now, that I am going to start putting together a Mal cosplay setup that I'm going to wear. I'm going to cosplay as Mal.
That's great.
That is... I talked to Susan, and was like, yes, I got to lose some weight, I got to do... You know, but I'm going to put together the whole package.
Nice.
Because that is a cool cosplay.
It is.
Oh, if you can get, like, a good replica of his gun.
I'm gonna do the whole deal.
That's like awesome. If you can do that,
slowly assemble the entire outfit.
Yes.
Yep. Awesome.
No, I am. Okay, we can hear Kira's
contributing.
Yes, Kira.
Wow. Okay.
The appearance of my youngest daughter on the podcast.
You should dress her up as River Tam and bring her with you.
Yes, that's a good idea.
A little mini River Tam.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
That is really
good.
I was discussing it with people I went to con with today. I went with Katarina, and I went with our family friend Betsy. And we, you know, we're talking about cosplay we want to do, and I have never cosplayed at a con before. I have told people on multiple occasions that I don't really get into that, doesn't excite me, but I am getting to the point now where I just think it would be fun to do it. I just have to pick a character and do it next year. I mean, we were talking about it. I mean, I've lost some weight, and I'm going to continue to lose some weight. I have issues with people who dress as characters and they don't physically resemble those characters at all. They're just a sloppy fat Batman in spandex.
Oh,
that crap. I hate it. So,
is dressed up and they're fine.
I understand. You can love, and that's how you express your love of Batman. That's fine. I'm going to judge you for it no matter what you do. when I lose a little more weight and I got to decide what costume I'm going to wear, but I think next year, next Phoenix Con, I will cosplay at least one day.
What are you going to dress as?
I have to decide what I want to do, but I'm going to do it. I'm committing to the... I'm promising myself that I'm going... That's going to be like a goal, is I will cosplay next Phoenix Con.
Here's my problem is, like, I'm not going to shave my beard or mustache for cosplaying purposes.
Yeah.
And so to look like a character from something, I only have, like, one option, and that is Green Arrow. Like... The comic book Green Arrow, not the TV show Young. Because I got the beard, I got the crazy mustache. You throw some green crap on me and give me a bow, I am damn Green Arrow. So, did you guys freeze up? Oh, I think I might have lost them. Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay. Okay, I'm pausing.
When you froze, Pat, you were talking about what you would wear, what you could.
Yeah.
Pull.
Oh yeah.
Your facial hair and everything.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like Green Arrow.
But are you? Here's the thing: is if you're gonna do it, it's got to be something. It's like in my mind, it rises to the level of getting a tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be something that you are really committed to, right? Sure. I mean, you're a huge fan. So are you enough of a Green Arrow?
I'm enough fan of. Well, to do with it? the show, and I've read Green Arrow, and I'm a fan of him in. From like Justice League Unlimited, I'm a fan of him from what was that other thing? I like the comic that Kevin Smith wrote was really good of Green Arrow. So I like him enough, I guess. I'm not like a super fan, I guess. He's not my favorite hero.
Liking him enough,
right?
Not enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd have to. I have to think about that.
So, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you there that you should pick something that you're really into. But
yeah.
But like my options are limited is the problem. I can either do that or I can go as Errol Flynn and be Captain Blood. And I'm more into Green Arrow than I am into.
Well, yeah.
Brother, you can always choose a cause. You can go as a stormtrooper or something with a helmet. You know,
I don't want to restrict my vision, you know. I want people to see me too, you know. That's part of the fun.
Anyway, it's a big step to
A big step.
It was a big step for me to like make the mental decision that okay, I want to try and start to put together a
mm-hmm.
Susan was all for it. She's like, wow, that'll be awesome and sexy. So
nice.
She was all supportive. So I think nice. I have a blank check to put something together. So
excellent.
Yeah, I'm gonna start my research.
Can I recommend you try to find some prop makers who cosplay already and buy direct from the source instead of buying something like just buying a trench coat online, like finding somebody who made it, you know?
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to go the extra mile and spend the extra dollars it takes in order for it to be legit.
Like legit. Yep. Yeah.
Not,
you want it to look
nothing
good.
Made out of cardboard.
Yeah, totally.
Yep.
All right, good. We were talking about, while we were having this conversation about the con, leading up to the con, Andrew, you were going to take your girlfriend for her first con.
Yeah.
And how, like, what you should show a person who's never been to a con before, and, like, what experiences are seminal, you know, what things you need to do. So we started talking about a checklist of...
Yeah.
Of things and you know
it became the conquest.
Conquest. The points. You get points for things.
That was awesome.
Oh my god, awesome. That conversation was great. So I want to bring some of that out of here.
Yes.
Where it's like, okay, you take a picture with somebody who's dressed in a costume, that's 10
that.
Points. Okay. You
I
did
think
that?
I think we have to write all of this up and put it up on the website.
Agreed. Yeah, we'll definitely do this.
Yeah, because it needs to be an ongoing game that we.
Well,
put
this is like
and...
right. This could be something fun that people could take with them to the cons
exactly.
And like they check this off the list. Okay, so yeah. So what's the list is like take a picture with somebody who's in cosplay.
Yeah.
Cosplay yourself.
Go to a panel.
Go to
a panel. Basic stuff. Go to a panel.
That's something that you're interested in, not just a crap panel, but like something that you have to wait for.
Exactly.
What else did we say? Dress up as something. That's like extra points.
That is. Ask a question at a panel.
Ask a question at a panel.
Yeah.
Right.
The other kind of random ones were, you know, take a sneaky picture of a famous person.
Oh,
you know,
yeah. I did that at Quentin Tarantino.
Eat crappy convention.
I asked Quentin Tarantino for a photo, and he said, oh, I'll be back tomorrow, and you can take a picture with me. And I walked away, turned around, took a photo of him, and then kept walking.
Yeah. For sure. So, I mean,
the surreptitious photo, that's 25 points.
Yeah, 25 points easily. Yeah, we need to finalize some of these points, because, like, I feel like sitting in a panel – shouldn't be a good amount of points, because you're wasting time that you could be out. You could be out taking photos with people.
It's not wasting time.
No. It's committed. No. What I'm saying is like.
But it's passive.
In an hour that I sit in a panel, I could go get 100 photos with a bunch of cosplayers and get way more points. So, I don't know.
Yeah. No, and. I thought of all of those things when I was at con these 3 days because I ate crappy convention center food.
That's on there too.
I took a picture. I took a Sarah. It was a lot of fun.
This is okay. I'm having an idea here, which I'm not going to put onto the podcast because it's an entrepreneurial idea that I think can go somewhere. Nice. But there's opportunity here for an app.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Because this is the days of smartphones.
Well, we just need somebody to write an app for you. We don't know how to code.
I can learn how to code.
Learn how to code and make a con app. Yes. The con checklist. Yeah. Yes. Oh, Conquest. That's a good name.
Yes, it is.
Trademark that.
No, it's already trademarked. It's on the Phoenix Convention Center or the Phoenix Comic Con website.
Oh.
You can add stuff to a list and called it your conquest when I was on the website.
No.
Functionality.
Con-quest.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Fine.
Someone else beat us to it. But anyways, our list is fun.
Very good time going through the how we would score things.
Yes,
the debate about what's worth 10 versus what's worth 25 was very good.
Well, and I think with something we left off that list that factors into all of this, because my convention weekend was spent with people who had never been to a convention before. Adria had never been to a convention before, so I took her and I had things that I thought she should experience, and I made sure that she did. So we went to a Jim Butcher panel and we sat there, and I had never read any of Jim Butcher's books. I had never even really kind of thought about going to the panel, but Chris and his girls were going, so we decided to go along, and it was a very entertaining panel and we were very engaged. And I said to her, you know, we'll go to a panel and then we'll walk around the floor and you should look at this and look at this, and we'll, you know, there'll be people, vendors you can talk to. And we did all that, and you know, she lasted about 2-3 hours on Saturday, which was, you know,
nice,
plenty of time.
She still wants to date you after this.
I was gonna say she didn't break up with me, so
no.
Things are still going on.
That's good.
But, I mean, part of the list should be...
That's next level stuff.
She passed. She passed.
You take her to a Comic-Con.
If she wants to go to a Comic-Con...
And she puts up with you.
I have said it for years about going to conventions. If you go to a convention with an open mind, you will have a good time.
Totally.
Great.
Anyone, at whatever level of geekdom they have, you will have a good time at a convention if you embrace the convention. And I am I love to take people to conventions.
I was really bummed. Part of me was very bummed, because usually I missed sort of the opportunity this time around to, part of the enjoyment I get out of going to cons is going to the independent artists, people who are making their art, right? You know, writers and drawers, and, you know, like we did in Anaheim at WonderCon, just being exposed to new stuff that people are putting out into the world, you know, that is their art, creating, creative people who are just putting it out there. And I just love those types, and love being able to interact with them at the con experience. And I didn't get to really do any of that this year, so I was bummed about that.
Well, that's on the list too that I talked about, is going to Artist Alley and buying a comic from a creator that in the booth. And it you know, just don't buy some crap just because you want to like check 10 points off the list. Like, find something that you like. The last Portland Comic Con I went to, I ran into the writer of this book called Five Five Weapons, I think is what it's called. I met the guy, talked to the writer, artist, really cool guy, sold me his book, signed it for me. Like, totally awesome. Like, that's how I met Robert Kirkman. Robert Kirkman, I went to San Diego, like, my second or third year. I heard about this book, Invincible. At the time, there was only, like, 18 issues. It was brand new. Bought the trade, walked over to the Image booth, and was going to get the... gonna get Robert Kirkman to sign it. Like, I knew he was there, so I was like, oh, we might as well sign it. And they're like, hey, do you want Ryan Ottley to sign it too, like the artist? And I was like, heck yeah. So like, I'd never even read this comic before, and I got them to sign the hardcover. It was so great. Like, like that kind of thing really gets you connected to the geek, gets you connected to the next level. And and Invincible turned out to be like the greatest comic book I've ever read. Yeah, so,
and it humanizes the it breaks down the barrier between sort of I'm reading various things, and the author or the drawer, whatever, is sort of this they are removed from you. There is a barrier between you and them because all you have is their finished product in your hand. But a con gives you an opportunity to sort of break down that barrier.
Right. It
humanizes the people. They are actual human beings who are really working at this stuff. This is what they do. And it's just so terrific to interact with them, to have a chance to talk to them, because you realize that these are human beings who are doing the same struggles that you are doing, just in a different context. And they're, you know, they're putting their stuff out into the world, and you know, people like that are fascinating and interesting to me, and it's a great sort of experience and reminder to me about sort of pursuing those things that you want to pursue, and don't settle for the sort of 9-to-5 show up and get a paycheck.
Yeah, you really don't like that lately, do you? So I thought about the last time I went to a con, how many conventions I've actually been to. Do you guys know like a number, or have you lost track? Because I've been to 27 conventions.
Oh my god!
Yes,
that's a lot.
Yeah, well, I've been to. Right. I went to seven or eight San Diego Comic Cons.
Mm-hmm. 7 or 8.
No, you didn't go to that many. You went to like 6.
Okay, 6. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
So 6 and WonderCon.
4 San Diego. 4 or 5.
4.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
And then 5 in a row at Phoenix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been to Amazing Arizona Con twice. You know, the smaller.
So I went to one in Mesa, so I've probably been to.
So Andrew's 10, probably into like 12. 15. You're probably like 12.
11 or 12, yeah. Yeah.
Well, for a while there, I've been to San Diego 9 times. I went to Emerald City once. I've been to Portland Comic Con 3 times. I've been to WonderCon. I've been to Phoenix Con.
When is Emerald
11,
City?
11 times.
What time of year is Emerald City? Is that in March?
It's in springtime, usually like March or April.
I talked to Susan about this, and the next time, because you know she has to travel to Seattle a lot.
Oh yeah,
she's going to try and coordinate a business trip up there.
Oh my god!
If it overlaps with Emerald City, I'm going with her.
Totally, I'll take the Bolt bus up there.
Yes, and then I'm going. You should definitely. We should.
Emerald City is awesome.
That, but yeah, no, I we're gonna do that. Yeah. We're absolutely gonna do that. So if she works out her schedule in such a way that it overlaps with Emerald City, we're gonna make it happen. So.
All right. Yeah. I suppose we should move on from the con talk and talk about great some. Stuff.
But anyway, great experience this week. Phoenix Con has definitely grown up, and a good time. It was a very good time.
That's great. Yep. I wish I could have gone. It sounded really good.
Yeah, it was a great experience.
So they announced this week that they added a couple of cast members to the new Star Wars film that they're making. I'm gonna probably butcher this name. What is Nupita Nyong'o? Is that how you say it?
Nyong'o.
Okay.
Great addition to the cast.
Well,
awesome.
She won an Academy Award for 12 Years a Slave, right? Yeah, Supporting actress.
Supporting actress.
She is tremendous.
So that's a good ad. Jeez.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then Gwendolyn.
And that it gives you hope. It really gives you hope for the quality of the script.
Right.
Yeah.
Because a person like that, I'm sure that she's got people beating down her door.
Right.
Oh, she's got tons of offers right now.
Tons of offers.
And she can be selective as she wants. Yep. And I bet you, and it's kind of a niche thing, right? And it's there's a lot of pressure associated with, episode 7. And I'm sure that her advisors are all telling her all these things. Well, you got to be careful about this. And I bet you they looked at what had been written up to this point. And she's like, yeah, I'm in, because the character's awesome and the movie's awesome. The script is awesome. So that gives me lots of hope that this is going to be – it's really going to pay off.
Well, there's theories online that she is the daughter of what's his face from Cloud City?
Lando Calrissian,
yeah.
Oh, that would be very cool.
Well, but is there only like one black family in the whole Star Wars universe, though? Like,
that's a very good point.
Like, seriously? If she ends up being that, it's just like, all right, there's only one.
Only
one group of black people in this whole universe.
That's a legitimate criticism.
Yeah.
I hope that's not the case.
So, yeah, so I thought, yeah, I thought that was funny.
That's funny.
I saw
this too, and the other kind of big casting announcement was Gwendolyn Christie
from Game of Thrones,
who plays Brienne of Tarth.
Yeah,
on Game of Thrones.
That's awesome.
She's great on the show.
Are they going to make her a giant, like, Amazon woman Jedi? Is that what they're going to do?
That's the thing. They give us no information on the characters that any of these people are playing.
Right.
They don't even give us character names.
Right. There's a big secret. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how J.J. Abrams does it.
Well, speaking of J.J. Abrams.
Get up. So you never know. I mean, my guess is you'll be able to see her face and she'll be recognizable. But I mean, they could turn her into something that you don't even recognize who the actor or actress is.
Exactly. Well, when she's not covered in dirt and like she actually does her hair and puts on some makeup, she's a very attractive woman.
She is.
So,
she's
like a giant woman.
Oh, she's but, nice.
Yeah, that's but yeah. Yeah, she's so they could like pretty her up for the role.
You just described yourself, Patrick.
Thank you.
if you clean up and clean off all the dirt, and do your hair.
Wow,
you're all right. Very attractive.
I don't know how to take that. I'm just gonna take it as a compliment.
Probably the best way to do it, buddy.
Speaking of J.J. Abrams, though, he posted a picture of like, I'm tired of everybody spoiling, with all these photos from
the
set.
There were photos leaking from the set, yeah.
Right, and he did it from a photo that was of the Millennium Falcon's, like, the hollowed chessboard. Did you guys catch that?
Oh, yeah.
And so, he's saying the Millennium Falcon's going to be in the new one. So,
oh, yeah.
It's got to be in there.
Couldn't be.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah, no,
you know, Han Solo. What is Han Solo without the Millennium Falcon? So
he's nothing.
Yeah.
I continue to be every little morsel that I get. About
yes,
it just makes me more and more excited.
They
so
are
I
totally playing the whole give the geeks a little bit, get them excited thing, and it's working. It's working for sure.
We're a full.
It's only
going to
feed the frickin' frenzy.
We're 2 years away from this movie, and it's just
so it'll be dribs and drabs,
right?
Are
they saying 2016 or are they saying 15?
I mean, maybe the last I heard was that it was 2015, but like Christmas.
No, there's no way it'll be. There's no way it'll be next year.
This is saying December 18th, 2015 on IMDb.
Wow.
If that's right,
end of next year, that would be fantastic.
If that's right, that would be insanely awesome.
Yep.
So, I mean, think about it. And
we won't have anything this summer, but I expect a teaser around Christmas time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe they'll announce the title.
Sure.
Well, but how? No, I mean,
they know the title.
They're filming now, right? What's the longest film shoot? It's, you know, 45 days to 60 days,
totally,
right?
Filming.
So, of course, they're going to have tons of film.
Well, they got to do.
They'll be able to put together something by the end of the year.
It'll take 45 days to shoot the live action stuff, but it'll take 6 months to do all the digital art, all the special effects.
True.
And they won't release that until they have all the special effects done.
They could put a small team on putting special effects into a teaser.
Totally.
We'll get a teaser probably Christmas time.
I would think so.
Yeah. Sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got a lot of scene to talk about here, so let's dive into scene and see what we got here. Andrew, you saw Edge of Tomorrow.
I did see Edge of Tomorrow.
I did not. I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it yet either.
What did you think?
I'm not
going to
spoilerize anything for you guys because this is a movie that it's a time travel movie. You can glean that specifically from the trailer. I'm not going to spoilerize anything for you. I will merely say that I had an incredible amount of fun going into the movie. It is very entertaining.
Wow.
It has funny. It's got great action. It's got interesting characters. Tom Cruise is great as kind of Tom Cruise. You know, thing is kind of this action hero. Emily Blunt, as she plays a soldier in the movie that becomes kind of his guide through things. She is as good as she's ever been in anything, and she gets roped for this movie. She is extremely fit, and she's great. She is great in this movie.
Yeah, it just didn't work out in terms of timing for this weekend, but I'm definitely going to see it this week.
Oh yeah, it is
for sure.
You want somebody? It is as entertaining a movie.
In fact,
as
I may even go see it. I may even go see it tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's as entertaining a movie as I've seen this year. I mean, it's as good in terms of like my enjoyment of a movie. I mean, I think the most fun I've had in a movie this year, I saw it three times in the theater, was Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
Such a good movie.
And this is as entertaining and as fun as Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
Wow. Okay.
It's as good as
That's saying awesome. A lot to me because I love that movie. So
no, I love it too.
Very cool.
Kind of the only movie I've seen this year that kind of comes to the level of entertainment that I've had.
Oh wow.
Was Edge of Tomorrow.
Great.
Well, that's good. I'll definitely have to go see it and.
Highly recommend it.
What else have you seen?
The only Adrian and I sat down and we started the BBC Sherlock. We watched one episode of it.
Wait, you hadn't seen that?
No, I have seen it. She hadn't.
Oh, okay.
Part of what we do together is we kind of have a TV show that we watch together. It gives us some excuse to get together.
It's
and hang
so
out
cute.
Oh, you guys are cute.
It's so cute.
We're
so
pretty adorable.
Was your kissing?
Oh wow. Okay.
Kids, popcorn. Some popcorn.
Yeah. Nobody. Okay, both of you, shut up. It reminded me of how good that show is. Benedict Cumberbatch, Martin Freeman as Holmes and Watson, and being set in modern London, it's awesome.
I turned a partner of my firm onto that, and he borrowed our DVD or Blu-rays, and he was blown away. He watched all three series, he was blown away by it.
It's so
good.
She has given me series one and series two on DVD, and series three is now on Netflix, so we'll be able to blow through these episodes and get them knocked out, because it's 9 total episodes.
I think that season three was the weakest, to be honest. I think season two with Moriarty and the whole, like...
The wedding episode in season three is top three, dude.
Dude, I don't like what they like figured out what their shtick is, and they're like hitting it in the head too much.
Nah, man.
It's not as good. It's so quirky good. And it's funny, but it's not as, like, there's the mystery is gone.
The show is about Sherlock.
Right.
His inability to relate to and engage with other human beings.
I wanted there
and
to be...
it's a commentary on technology. And the barriers that technology creates between us.
No, I understand.
But also the opportunity to connect with other human beings.
I understand all that.
It's perfect.
What sold the show for me, because I like the mystery aspects of the show and in season one and kind of how they build to what happens in season two and the kind of the cliffhanger that exists in season two. And it gets male friendship correct.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I mean, you know, art always is supposed to hold up a mirror to reality. And I mean, I've thought about this and kind of the stories that kind of that work in terms of illuminating how male friendship works and all of that. Because that's not something, honestly, that's dealt with very much, I think. I mean, you see all these shows about female friendship, and I read an article the other day about, you know, shows that kind of had, you know, best female friends or whatever. But, I mean, male friendship doesn't get focused on that much, I think, a lot when it comes to popular culture and, you know, TV and things like that. But for me, Sherlock gets kind of how male friendship can work in a really kind of nice and kind of perfect way.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's my take on it. It's a really interesting examination of how male friendship actually works.
Hmm. All right, what else you got?
Yeah, honestly, that's it in terms of scene for me.
Right.
It's been a bit, you know, it's been a busy week, but we, you know, Adrian and I made time to do both of those things, so it was good that way. So
cool. Yeah. Christopher, what about you?
The only thing that I'll highlight for what I've seen is a couple things. I am watching Penny Dreadful, and I love that show.
Yes. How far into the season are they?
The fourth episode.
Okay.
Tonight's the fifth episode.
Tonight's the fifth. I haven't watched. Oh, continue.
And Game of Thrones, of course. Mm-hmm. I have not yet watched today's episode.
But we will. Do you guys want to talk about last week's with the Viper and the Mountain fighting?
Yes. Let's talk about
that.
Unbelievable and awesome. And as readers, I've read the series. Andrew has read all the series, but Patrick has not.
I did not see that. Okay. So we should probably say. We should probably say that this is a little spoilery, in case if you haven't seen the eighth episode of season four, maybe not listen for the next few minutes, because the freaking mountain crushes his damn head, like
smashes his head.
Holy crap!
And it's the classic mistake. It's the classic mistake gloating and demanding. Justice is about surviving, right? Mm-hmm. Then you forget that justice is you being alive and the other guy being dead, not this sort of ephemeral satisfaction of hearing him say and admit to something. No, justice is putting his ass away.
Well,
right?
He wanted to be sure that
that is the classic error.
And right.
In that moment, he's not fighting for Tyrion. It's the opportunity for him to exact his vengeance. So
that's the only reason why he volunteered. He doesn't.
Exactly. So he doesn't care about. He wants to achieve.
It's
his
about him, and that's his. That was his hubris.
Of
it's
course. But I mean, it's completely with his character that he would behave that way. The only reason he volunteered, I really like that character.
Of course. No,
because the mountain was Cersei's
champion.
He's
a great character, and now he's dead.
He's dead. We liked him.
Dead.
In the most brutal way. I didn't think they could go more brutal than the Red Wedding. And
it's crushed.
He smooshed his brain like a grape.
Smushed his head. Yeah.
Just skull. It made that noise and it was awful. Wow.
Yep.
My question, I had a question for you guys. Is the mountain dead? I don't want this answer. I don't want it to be answered because I don't know. But I mean, he stabbed him in the gut And he, like, after he smushed his brain, he, like, laid down and fell fell, and he looked very, like that was his last moment or something. You don't know if he's just injured or what. Because he got stabbed in the gut with a spear. I mean, that's not something you exactly walk away from.
This is the answer I will give you.
Okay.
And it's not quite an answer, but it illuminates certain things.
It was perfectly you're really bad at this, you know that?
Andrew, you are terrible at this.
I am. It was purposely left ambiguous.
Yes.
Purposefully.
Purposefully left ambiguous.
Yep.
So, I will say this. I've watched the 9th episode, and they don't even go back to King's Landing at all.
Yeah, the 9th episode is all
you got no answer to.
There's no answer to whether Tyrion will live or not in the 9th episode, which is
I guarantee you, guarantee you, you will learn the answer to that question in the final episode.
Holy crap.
Guarantee.
The resolution of that plot
that is the I can't imagine a better way to end this season than the resolution of that plot line.
Jesus. Okay. Great. That's great.
I cannot wait for it.
Yeah, me neither.
Next
Sunday at 6 p.m.
Oh, I don't like you two. You guys suck.
Deal with it.
So I watched that, obviously. I watched Penny Dreadful, which I really enjoy. And then we watched this past week, we watched The Hobbit, the second movie in the Hobbit series with Smaug.
Smaug.
Desolation of Smaug.
Smaug.
And I cannot watch that movie without being awed by the portrayal and by the visual of the dragon.
Totally.
That is the epitome of modern filmmaking and the ability, what George Lucas forgot, the epitome of using technology in a way that creates something visually stunning and completely furthers the story and is seamless. Are you taken out of the scene? Are you taking out of the experience? Not for a moment are you reminded that it is a movie. It is just an incredible achievement to be able to pull off how they pulled off the dragon.
Verisimilitude. Verisimilitude.
That's the word. Mm-hmm. So so we watched that this past week, and I was yet again blown away by that. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I completely agree with you with what the points you're making, but The Hobbit is a terrible movie. The second one is not, like, on the
whole.
The
second one's better than the first.
I disagree. I think the first one is more of an adventure. It's more fun. Oh, the action is better. The second one, Cumberbatch and the dragon are freaking awesome. But what was that crap with the barrels and the river? And what was just so many, like smack your like face palm moments where it's not a good movie and it takes you out of it the rest of the time.
I don't know about that, but there are definitely moments in the barrel riding.
Yeah,
that were
it's so silly.
Yeah, but I think it's a callback to the idea that this is a kid's book,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm. And that there's a playful quality to that, which I appreciate.
Yeah, sure.
Right. And it's a sort of a reminder of that. But I agree with you that there are cringe-worthy moments in both movies that are like, what were you thinking?
Well, and Peter Jackson adding tension when there doesn't need to be, like the love triangle with what's his face and Evangeline. Like I love Evangeline Lilly being in it, but what was the point of that? Like,
well. Yeah, that strikes me, absolutely strikes me as a, we got to add this element.
The romance.
A romance, a love interest.
The whole extra, cut all that out. 20 minutes of romance. Add that to the special features, the extended crap, because I don't
think
it's
necessary. I mean, I appreciate the where it's coming from in terms of it. That's certainly missing from The Hobbit.
Yeah.
It's in The Lord of the Rings. It's missing from The Hobbit, but that's not what the book...
Yeah.
It wasn't the point of the book.
Exactly.
And so adding that, you know, adding that is
you know, I'll keep watching it.
Stretch.
I keep watching it, and there's moments of awesome. I'll watch the third one. I want to know how it ends. You know, it's good. I would watch it right now. I'd probably enjoy it. But I just don't think it's
very good. Well, once they made the decision to do a trilogy, it was like, okay, what are we gonna film?
Right.
I mean,
this is 270. Right.
Necromancer, that is just created out of whole cloth.
Yeah.
There's none of that crap in The Hobbit. So, you know, that's just, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
I was okay. Anyways, anything else you have seen?
That's it for
Scene.
What did you watch?
Okay. So last week you guys recommended that I watch True Detective. So I sat down and I watched all of season one of True Detective.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Isn't that a great show?
I don't want to ruin anything, but holy shit, was that a great show.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, there's a couple moments that I want to like pinpoint. Like the fourth episode, and this isn't giving anything away because like you won't know unless you've seen it. Where they go to a meth cooker's like shack out in the woods, and it's just the two detectives who are there. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Holy crap! That scene.
I know.
Oh, and the editing in this show, the filmmaking,
the single tracking shot through the drug deal.
So, fantastic. Oh, that's in the fifth, or is that the fifth or the fourth episode? That is so good. Episode.
Yeah, no, the single tracking shot where Rust is undercover and he adopts his old undercover as the drug guy. You know, the heavy, and he goes with his crew to rob these guys in this projects.
Mm-hmm.
Little six, seven minute tracking shot. Through as the ongoing gun battle that erupts, and Russ trying to get out of there. It's
Did you see the report that said he's open to season two?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I hope he comes back.
They haven't said any. You know, before that, it was a totally new cast.
Yeah.
But then they asked him the question, and my God, I'm hoping that they're listening.
Well,
but talk about, I mean, if they have main characters, but if he makes an appearance or somehow is involved in a couple of the episodes, he doesn't have to be the main guy. Mm-hmm. That would be fantastic in my mind.
It would be fantastic.
Oh, my God, right?
Cool. So you watched that?
I watched the whole first season. Awesome. I thought it was fantastic, great ending, great, really well made. Holy crap! Just beautifully shot, edited, music, everything is perfect.
What do you think about? I was conflicted over the end because of
like
his
the
sort of
end,
finding
end?
Of finding of faith and the conflict and his whole. He was like Mr. Existential and negative, and then he became this sort of. I had issues with his final speech.
I don't think it was necessarily like him finding faith or God. I think he just like it was like a purging of the baggage. It was sort of like I had this unfinished, unresolved conflict that caused all this issue in my heart.
Yeah.
You know? And
he came to that place within himself.
He came to that place within himself. I don't think he saw his daughter. I don't think that he like was in heaven. I think that it was just like him coming to grips with what it was and finding some peace.
That's an interesting take.
Right. And so I took it as that versus like, oh, he found faith and yay, he's into God now. And the character's totally different. Like, so I just... That was an interesting scene. I thought about that a lot, too. I was like, what is that? Whoa. What is happening?
I listened to that. I read it multiple times afterwards. It's like, what are they saying here?
Yeah, there's a lot in that show that is like they're talking about something, but there's a deep undercurrent of other topics, and it's really serious. You got to pay the hell attention.
Yeah, you do.
That's
good.
That's indicative of the writer, Nick. I can't ever remember how to pronounce his last name correctly, but the guy who wrote all the episodes, and he's the showrunner, Nick Palazzo or
Palazzo,
he's a literature professor.
Yeah.
Before he was a writer, so he taught, and I mean, the depth in which he, you know, every single thing is constructed in exactly the way he wants it to be constructed, and every single line is written in a specific way so that you could interpret it in different ways. And I think the ending, especially in how Rust's storyline resolves itself, is open to multiple interpretations because he wants it to be that way. Because that's what great literature is. The show is literature. It is open to interpretations, and you're supposed to bring what you know, that's the sign of all great art, is you bring your own influences and preconceptions to it, and it makes you consider your own preconceptions and your own expectation of things in a totally different way. And the ending can be interpreted in a different way based on your own, what you bring to it, is great. Because we all get something different out of the ending, and it's either it makes
sense. Yeah, because we're all in different places in our lives, you know, in terms of dealing with the issues that certainly Rust is dealing with. Yeah. So
it doesn't hit you over the head saying, this is what it's about, and this is the resolution. It lets you figure it out.
Well, I will say this about the show, if you haven't watched it, this is the most violent, dark, messed up, one of the most violent, messed up shows I've ever seen. Like,
the subject matter is incredibly hard to deal with.
Oh, yeah. And it is, there is nothing sugarcoated about this. People get shot, people get stabbed, people are murdered left and right, children. Oh, my gosh. It's just.
No, it's the violence. And it's not even that the violence is so overt that you see all these maimings and killings, but you see the effect that it has on people.
Mm-hmm.
The people interact with these violent worlds and how they deal with it and how they have to cope or how they don't cope with it. It's just so dark and so kind of emotionally wrenching.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just, I mean, it doesn't mess around when it comes to that stuff, and that's part of why the show is so good, but it's why it's so hard to deal with.
Well, it's another anti-hero story too, the whole, you know, Breaking Bad and Dexter, and
it's people who are human.
Game of Thrones, you know, they're flawed heroes that are doing good things, but they're still kind of messed up.
I'm tired of the term flawed because nobody's perfect. I think that they're actual people dealing with these situations.
Right.
They're human beings.
Genuine.
Yeah.
Ugh.
With layers.
Like an onion.
So there's that, and then and
ogres.
Like parfait. Everybody likes parfait. Nobody likes onions.
cake.
That was my donkey impression, everyone.
That was terrible.
Thank you. So I also watched Penny Dreadful on your recommendation, Christopher. I am not caught. I am caught up to 4. I haven't watched 5. 5 is tonight.
Yeah.
Sunday.
You enjoying it?
Oh, it's interesting.
Very.
And it's very dark also. Very dark. Interesting, very dark. But what's interesting about this show, it's very different than True Detective, obviously, but it's very like they take the time to like have conversations about like existential things like death and life and creatures. I mean, there's like, this is a monster show, but like there's scenes in the show where what's her name, Ava Green, is just having a conversation with the guy who plays Dorian Gray, and it's just, what are they talking about? It's like poetry. It's like beautiful and
Yeah, the Dorian Gray character is going to lead me to read that book again. I need to read that to refresh my memory, because those issues and the issues that he is dealing with in a subtle way, it does a great job of playing upon the show is doing a great job of playing upon sort of those things that we think we remember about these characters from classic literature, right? But when's the last time you read The Picture of Dorian Gray?
Right, exactly.
Never.
And have you ever read Dracula?
No.
And have you ever read Frankenstein?
Right. Yeah. Well,
and so it plays upon the ideas of these things, sort of in popular culture, but it sort of is the theme. My point is that it goes upon the theme that I brought up in the last podcast, which was the Ichabod Crane idea, which is you have a notion of what Sleepy Hollow is and what Ichabod Crane was dealing with, but if you actually read the thing, it's actually a way different idea.
Sure.
And so I love the fact that the show is sort of playing upon sort of the ideas of these, but then it's not just a straight, they are complex, they are interesting, they are not your sort of typical what you assume them to be kind of stuff. Dorian Gray fascinates me as a character in terms of what he's dealing with. And, you know, you think about, okay, how long have you been alive? You are completely bored.
He is so bored. It's so interesting.
How do you continue to live and to choose to continue to live? What do you need?
Right.
In order to choose to continue to live.
When you're immortal. When you're immortal.
Exactly.
You are bored by doing the same old things.
Right. It's all of these sensory experiences, and you are doing those things to remind you that you're alive, but you have to go to extremes to achieve that. But then you're reminded of the interaction between another human being on a level where you're describing flowers.
Mm-hmm. So good.
And so those scenes were so good.
But it could be, I mean, there's a lot of, the action has been sparse, which is, but the show has taken the time.
The show has taken the time
to like build these characters up, which is really interesting.
Yep. Andrew, you need to watch this.
You need to watch it.
Go over to my house.
This is another good one that needs to be added, because everybody's talking about it, and I'm really... my question for you, Christopher, is...
Before we go any further, does Ava Green get naked at all?
No, there's not a lot of nudity so far. Yet. Oh, wait, there is nudity.
There is nudity, for sure, but she is
Ava Green is not.
Yeah.
She got naked a whole bunch in... what was that one show?
She was naked in 300.
The new 300, the second one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the second one.
I haven't seen it. Camelot. She was on that show Camelot, and she got naked a whole bunch in that.
She's an attractive woman.
Yeah. She's very attractive. She's really interesting actress.
It's all right. That's all right.
I definitely need to watch the show.
Way to bring it back.
So I also have seen... I haven't watched all of it, but Netflix added the second season of Orange is the New Black this week, and I've watched 3 of the 8 episodes, I think it is, 10 episodes?
I watched the premiere episode of season 1, but then I haven't watched any of the rest of that.
Season 1 is kind of a slog to get through, but so far...
Everyone raves about it, though.
I know. There's some parts that are really funny and crazy in season 1. Season 2, though, so far... Each episode has been much better than season 1, I think. I'm really enjoying it a lot more. Interesting characters, interesting ideas. We are really in the golden age of like television right now.
Great stuff. Yeah,
there are so many like good shows. 100%. And they're really putting a lot of money and really good actors and all these roles, and it's not like a joke to be like think about Matthew McConaughey being on an HBO show. Like,
yeah.
That would be unheard of 10 years ago.
Well, they were saying in a lot of articles that were written about that show is that people are seeing that there's a lot of creativity
mm-hmm.
and a lot of interesting stuff that is able to happen on cable TV that you're not finding, actors are not finding in movies, because the bulk of movies are being driven by comic books.
Right.
You know, there are obviously exceptions to that, but the... but there, people are finding, especially actors are finding projects that they're attracted to on TV. That, you know, there seems to be a lot of good writers and directors attracted to the TV medium as opposed to movies. So
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
they can take more risks and be more sort of interesting that way. So
all right, let's get this. I haven't read very much because I've been busy with finals, but do you guys have anything that you want to talk about for Red?
I am caught up with Batman Eternal. Mm-hmm. I am having issues with it in the sense that I'm having trouble seeing the forest for the trees. I'm not really getting the whole overarching plot point of the story yet. It's just a lot of, it's very disjointed in my mind. If they're gonna do a weekly, I mean, it seems like there should be a huge overarching story that I'm just not picking up on it yet.
There are some touchstones.
Yeah.
But it's not coalescing yet.
Exactly. The most recent issue was probably the best issue that I thought they've done so far this year. It actually takes place in Hong Kong. A character that was introduced a year or two ago with Batman Incorporated, the Batman of, I'm sorry, not Hong Kong, but the Batman of Tokyo. His name is Hiro, spelled in the Japanese way, J-I-R-O, pronounced Hiro. He's the Batman of Tokyo, and he is involved in the plot, and it's a very good issue. I'm not getting the whole overarching sense of this weekly series and what they're trying to do. So it's a little all over the place in my mind, but the most recent issue was very entertaining, and I'm going to continue to read it, obviously. It gives me an excuse to go to Samurai every week and pick the book up. And you know, it's 16 pages. Like, you know, you can read that in 10 minutes. Right. So it's not like it's a huge involve. It's not a huge time suck every week. But I'm struggling to find the overarching idea of it. But the most recent issue was very good.
All right.
Cool.
Yep.
Has the artist changed again? I'm behind still, but
yeah,
the art changed again.
I like the art of the latest episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Sweet. Christopher, you got anything?
Yes, two things to report on in terms of Red. I read the latest Jim Butcher book, the Dresden Files. It's called Skin Game. It's book 15 of the series.
Holy crap!
Fantastic book. For those of you who are Harry Dresden fans and know...
What is book one called?
Stormfront.
Stormfront. So I should go pick that up.
Do you have these books, Christopher, in paperback or hardcover?
No.
Okay, I got to go buy them then. Because I'm going to pick up Stormfront.
How do you have them?
I listen to them on Audible.com.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yep.
It is spectacular. It is the book. It's book 15, and it is. He has said in the past he's going to do 20 books and then a three-book apocalyptic trilogy.
Whoa.
And it's you know, the book is great. There's an overarching, there's multiple subplots. It's everything that you love about Harry Dresden and him as a character and all of his cast of characters. It's terrific. Very, very well done. And now I have to wait another year and a half for the next one. Except he is working on another series, which I am very excited about, which I will read and actually buy when it comes out in book form. His new series is going to be a steampunk series. Ooh. It's called the Cinder Spires. It's called, and the first book's current title is The Aeronauts Windlass. And he's working on that, he said, in his panel, that it's likely to be out sometime next year. So
wow, that's cool.
I am absolutely going to read that as well. And actually, I'm going to go and buy his other series, The Codex Alera, because it sounds awesome. It's a fantasy series about a lost Roman legion. So I'm going to read that too. So I'm reading that, I listened to Skin Game. And I'm reading the Iron Fist comics.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Issue 3 is out, and it's very enjoyable and entertaining, and it has taken him back to Kunlun, where dramatic and devastating things have happened, back in the mystical place where he got his power, and now he's confronted with something that appears to be someone significant from his past. And so I look forward to
you're rocking the Iron Fist shirt
tonight.
That's awesome. That's very cool. Yep.
So that's my report.
Awesome. That's a good report. What about let's move on to Played.
I have nothing for Played this week.
No, Played.
I did not play Arkham City at all. I played some Cards Against Humanity last night with some people, but that was the extent of my play.
Not acceptable. This is called the Brothers Geek podcast.
Right.
No, you're absolutely right.
You have to play something, dude.
It's true.
I'm a failure.
Failure. What about you, Christopher?
My report is huge.
Huge. Okay.
Bring it.
Bring it.
Mario Kart 8.
Yeah.
Came out. I did not own a Wii U.
Yeah.
And it got me to buy a Wii U.
You pulled the trigger. You got a Wii U.
Pulled the trigger on the deluxe Wii U Mario Kart 8 bundle, and the girls and I have been tearing it up.
Okay. You and like 5 million other people.
I think this
game is the epitome of everything that Mario Kart should be, except for battle mode.
But no battle mode?
Battle mode is weak, but the tracks are wonderful HD versions of the best tracks in the history of the series.
Oh.
And Rainbow Road is fantastic.
I love that.
Fun. The variations and what you can do with the various cars and the motorcycles and everything else. And we've been slowly unlocking characters and playing it, the four of us playing it regularly. The girls have been playing it when they've been home and I've been at work. They've unlocked many a thing, many a character, many an option for customizing your vehicle. We're just having a ball with it because it looks great, it plays great, and the four of us can play together, and we've been having a ball with it.
That's awesome.
It's a great time.
Have you seen the Luigi Death Stare?
Yes.
What is the Luigi Death Stare?
Death Stare.
Okay, so this is something that's...
I never drive with Luigi. I'm a baby driver. I select the baby characters to drive all the time.
Yoshi. I'm the Yoshi driver.
I'm baby Rosalina.
Nice. Okay.
Yes.
So Luigi's Death Stare is this like meme on the internet that everybody keeps talking about, where like... I guess it's Luigi Wario is getting like hit by something like a blue shell, and then he's like exploding into like getting rocked by it, and then Luigi is cruising past him, and you get this slow-mo shot of him just looking at the camera.
The way Luigi is drawn,
yes,
and the way that he looks at as he's passing you,
yeah.
Or the look that he gives is freaking hilarious.
It's just this like this evil, like this evil look of like, I don't even, he's unfazed by just murdering someone. And that's why everybody is like laughing about it. It's so great.
The internet is never, it's always, it will always deliver.
Yeah.
The internet will always deliver.
So funny. So, Andrew, go look up the Luigi Death Stare.
Yeah, Google that.
I just Googled it, and yeah, that's exactly it's like, Luigi's like, I don't care if you live or die.
Right.
I
don't give a frack.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. He's just cruising by, and he's just like,
I do not care for your life.
Yeah, I'm a murderer. What are you going to do about it?
I would murder you.
I'm passing you and murdering you.
He's just a cold driver, man. He's just a cold driver.
It's not Mario Kart. It's serious business.
Serious business. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that all you got for that, Christopher?
I played a ton of Diablo too.
So. Oh yeah, of course. have you did you look into WildStar like I told you to?
I did look into WildStar. It looks pretty cool.
It looks really cool.
It looks too. No. I play WoW, dude, and it looks like a dressed up WoW.
It is a dressed up WoW, but it's like science fiction. So I thought you would like it. It's like space creatures.
I have not rejected it out of hand. I may give it a shot.
If you do, I will get it as well, and we will play together.
With WoW right now. I haven't played WoW in a while, so
this might.
It could feed that itch for sure. So.
It looks like a definite like WoW, you know, not maybe a killer, but it's like a competitor. Like it's good enough. People are saying that it's good enough and fun and quirky, and it's got an interesting idea and a cool art style. I think the art style fits.
Yep. Yep.
And so it's it.
I'll let you know if I'm going to check it out because when I looked at it, it definitely caught my eye and I like the setting. I like the. It can fill that gap for me right now.
And you can be like a little alien dude, and you can be like a giant rock man, or you can be like a robot person. I think that's so cool. Oh my gosh! Yeah, I love all that stuff. I played some Borderlands. I did some of that. That was fun. I didn't play it.
What Borderlands? This is Borderlands 2.
Borderlands 2
prequel stuff or 2?
This is
DLC.
This is 2. We're doing our second playthrough right now. So I'm in the 40s with leveling.
You level up with a, you pick a specific character at the beginning, and it's a shooter though.
It's a
skills level
there's
up.
There's a... okay, so here's the structure of Borderlands is there's with the game there's 4 classes, now there's 6 total because you can download 2 extras, and there's 4 classes. Each of them have like one special ability. The siren, she can like lock people so they like raise up and they're like frozen in place so you can shoot them. But you can augment all these abilities. They all have like talent trees, so they level up and you put points in those talent trees.
But you're pulling the trigger. It's not a WoW kind of thing. Where...
No, it's a first person shooter. You have guns.
And
all the guns are different.
Enhance.
When you
pull the trigger.
Take
action.
There are like 50 different sets of guns. Yeah, and then each of those has like, this one shoots a little faster. This one reloads a little faster. This one has electric powers to it.
You're playing through it again with the same character?
With the same character. I'm the Necromancer playing with my buddies, playing through... you beat the game and then you can start it over, and all the guys are harder. They're all higher level, and it drops better loot, and the cap right now is 70, so I'm 40, so I have I think there's 4 playthroughs total, and I'm on playthrough 2.
Damn.
So there's a lot of gameplay. Definitely a lot of gameplay in this game. It's fun to play with your buddies.
Sure.
I was trying to download some demos, but Xbox Live was so funky this week that Nothing really. I kept having to like re-download stuff. I think they're messing with the whole like them converting the gold where you don't need a gold subscription to get right. Netflix. Oh, the paywall. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The paywall is gone. So they've been patching all week, so I didn't really mm-hmm. have any time to download anything. And I there was a couple of days there that I couldn't get on to live too. I didn't know what the problem was. My internet was working.
There's going to be a lot of video game news, hopefully out of E3 this week.
We'll definitely
have to talk about that next week and totally. Keep track of the news that comes out of E3.
Mm-hmm, for sure. I will. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited about a lot of stuff. Like I want to see the Tom Clancy's The Division news. I want to see news about Destiny. I want to hear news about... they're saying that there might be a Fallout 4 that they're going to announce. Everybody keeps saying that. Hopefully. I would love a Fallout 4. Yeah,
we'll see.
I'm looking forward to that. And Andrew, did we ruin your trivia question?
You completely ruined my trivia.
We'll just read it and we'll act like...
Have you come up with a new one?
I have not come up with a new one.
What the hell, dude?
I have not come
You're
up with a
new one. You're the trivia guy. You're supposed to...
I am the trivia guy. No,
on the fly. You gotta be nimble.
Oh, my gosh.
Gotta be nimble on my feet. Okay.
Yeah, you haven't come up with a new one?
What was your question, though? I'm curious.
I researched the top, the most attended cons in 2013. We don't have any official numbers on Phoenix Comic Con. There was estimates that there was going to be 70,000 people. I looked up the most attended cons for 2013. Mm-hmm. Phoenix was in the top five, and I was going to ask if you guys could guess, because of course San Diego Con would be number one,
right.
If you could guess 2, 3, and 4, and you guys
New York
knew exactly.
New York, Emerald City, and WonderCon.
Actually, WonderCon is like 8.
Oh,
yeah.
So
WonderCon had less attendees last year than Phoenix, actually. WonderCon, Phoenix was like 53 and WonderCon was 47.
So what's number four?
It was New York. It was San Diego was number one, of course. And then it was New York, Emerald City Con, and C2E2, the one that's in Chicago.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. But I mean, San Diego Con is light year. I mean, it's twice as big as
not anymore. New York has gotten
New York is like 100, and San Diego Con last year was like 130.
But like in the regular person's like zeitgeist, everybody when you say Comic Con, they still think San Diego
for sure. Yep. It'll always be that way,
right? Because it's the one. It's the one that everybody knows, right?
Yeah. It's its own pop culture thing now.
Totally.
Yep.
All right. Anything else you guys got to talk about? We're good?
Well, I think
When we finish with this, I'm going to go watch the Game of Thrones episode.
I'm going to go watch Penny Dreadful. So
I'm going to go to
bed. Yeah, go to bed, Andrew. It's late.
Are you tired, Andrew?
Tired.
I'm a little tired.
Okay. We're back to recording on Sundays, so this will be posted Monday. And thanks for listening. If you need to email Andrew about trivia question ideas, you can email him at kinginthenorth52@gmail.com. Did I get that right?
That's correct.
And if you would like to follow us on Twitter, you can do that at @brothers_geek@twitter.com. You should also visit thebrothersgeek.com. Just brothersgeek.com, not the, for all these shows. And thank you for listening, everyone.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, brothers.
Good night.